There we go. I'm going to record this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you consistently speak to us, Lord. And Lord, you speak to us because you love us. You speak to us because you want to instruct us. You speak to us because we are your children. And you speak to us, and it's not for no reason at all, but there's purpose to everything that you do, everything that you say. And we've learned that from your word, Lord, that it is full of life. Your word is life. Your word is food. Your word is alive. And so, God, we purpose, Lord, to receive that engrafted word into our lives, that we can be transformed into your image, into your likeness, like your word tells us, being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship, to worship, to hear from you, to draw near to you, to receive from you. Holy Ghost, we yield ourselves to you. My God, my Lord, thank you. Have your way. Amen. Amen. I don't have notes on this. So the notes will be up to you. The title of this is going to be Keeping Your Character Intact. Keeping Your Character Intact. And this speaks to us today loudly because of the lack of character that we see in so many, walks of life, you know, from political and business and, you know, social media and so many outlets where we are seeing a lack of character, society as a whole. In the life of a true believer in Jesus Christ, we must come to understand that our relationship with God is our highest priority. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Our relationship with God is our highest priority. Number one, we also come to understand kingdom first. You know, God first is our highest priority. Being able to prioritize God and his pure word in our lives comes because we know our Father in heaven will never change his word. In other words, we can prioritize because we know that God's word is a rock and it doesn't change. So we can steadfastly, we can... I'm thinking of some adjectives. We can put anchors into that word because we know it's going to hold no matter what. It's not going to crumble. It's made out of good, solid material that'll endure forever. God's word. So you can hook anything you want into it and it's going to hold. His pure word... We know that he will never change his word, nor will he fail to keep the words that he has spoken. Listen closely. God's character is revealed to us in his pure word. How do we know that God, you know, and is revealed to us through many of our personal experiences as well, but more we see that the teachings and the experiences and the moves of God in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that those were given for our learning, that we can learn we're not all going to experience the Red Sea opening, you know. We're not all going to experience water coming out of a rock, but those things did happen. We're not all going to experience the manna, you know, falling from the sky and being there in the morning for us. But those things happened, and they're there to show that God will take care of us. God, you know, his mercies are new every morning. His grace is new. So his character is revealed in his pure word. Now, as you're taking notes, I want you to write the word priority, my priority. And as we go through this, before I get to the main part of this teaching, I'll ask you a question. God's character is revealed to us in his pure word. We read in Exodus, this passage of scripture that reveals God's character. Exodus 34, beginning at 36. And the Lord passed by before him. This was Moses had asked the Lord, Lord, if I found favor, show me your glory. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He's revealing his character. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. What scripture? That was Exodus 34, beginning at verse 6. 6 and 7. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Now, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Guilt, sin has to be punished. That's why Jesus came to be our substitute, to take that upon him. We sang last Wednesday, Lord, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. The righteousness of a just God demands a punishment for sin. Jesus Christ was our willing sacrifice. Just a little side thing there. So, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Here we see God's character. If you're going to put bullet points, number one, mercy. He's merciful. Number two, grace. Full of grace. Number three, long-suffering and patient. Four, abundant in goodness. Five, abundant in truth. Six, forgiving. Seven, honorable. God revealing his character. Our Father in heaven goes as far as laying it all on the line by revealing to David his attitude concerning his word. We've shared this many, many times in Psalms 138 in verse 2. God puts it on the line. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God puts it all on the line. My word is even above my name. I will keep my word. I won't lie. Let's look at some scriptures here. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. It will accomplish what I said. God says it, it happens. If you remember in Jeremiah, when God said, you are going to go into 70 years captivity. And then there were prophets coming in. No, no, you won't go into captivity. No, no, God is going to redeem you. And the Lord says in Jeremiah 29, I didn't send these prophets. They don't speak for me. Indeed, you are going into captivity for 70 years. He said it. It happened. So, don't listen to false prophets. Don't listen to those that would argue against God's pure word. Numbers. Write this scripture down and star. Star it. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Or go back on his word. He said it. Shall he not do it? Or has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Gonna happen. 1 Samuel 15:29. This is from the ISV. Moreover, the glory of Israel does not lie nor change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. God exists on a higher plane, on a plane of truth, on a plane of honor. He's honorable. On a plane of consistency and dependability. You can put any other adjectives you want to put in there. It's God. He won't change. Like a rock. Because of these facts, so we have to look at these scriptures, and this is the way I see them, and I trust that you will develop to see these scriptures as facts. It's God's word. Is it a fact? Mm-hmm. Because of these facts, we can trust him. Even with our future. And I would encourage you to read Jeremiah 29. Because he says, yes, you are going to go into captivity. He says, but while you're in captivity, remember, I haven't forgotten you. Please remember that. So, marry. Build houses. Give your sons and daughters to marriage. You know, increase. Plant gardens. Prosper. And pray for the peace of the city that you're in. For when you pray for the peace, you have peace. Then, after that, he says, for I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, not evil, and of an expected end. So, we can trust him with our future. And he's already given us clues and hints into what our future is going to be. If, you know, like last week, everything was predicated on, if you will obey my word, if you follow my commandments, you will prosper in everything that you do. You see, faith, understand and catch this, and if I needed to say it two or three times, I will. Faith is believing for things that are not yet revealed or present. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So, God has proved himself to us in many ways. Now, this is, I want you, we're going to be talking about moving up to a higher plane. We all have had answered prayers, and some of us have seen miracles in our lives. Is that true? Okay, We have experienced the awesome presence of the Holy Spirit. We have experiences that of peace that passes understanding, and we have been touched by His great love. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Is that you? You've been touched by His love? Listen closely. Those are things that have happened or things that are currently happening in our lives. Right? But faith is believing for things not yet manifest. So, it shouldn't take an action of faith to trust God. If God's proved Himself, if you believe God, if you believe He can do the impossible, the Bible tells us to have the faith of God in Mark 11:22, to speak to the mountains, to speak to things, okay? We don't need faith to believe something that we're already assured of. Think about it. You don't need faith for something that you're assured of. Oh boy, it got real quiet. So it shouldn't take an action of faith to trust God. It should be second nature. God, I know You're going to come through. You always do. So I thank You. I thank You ahead of time. I believe that it's here. It should be a given fact that we can trust Him and likewise trust in His pure word. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. But if you've seen it, if you've experienced it, it's like touching Jesus, like touching Jesus, like a Thomas. I'm not going to believe until I touch Him. I put my fingers in his holes and my hand in His side. And then Jesus appears to him. I don't think he had to do it. I don't think Thomas dared put his hand in his, in his side. Oh, my Lord and my God. And He said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. But blessed are those that believe and yet have not seen. Taking your belief to a new level. It should be a given fact that we can trust Him and likewise trust in His pure word. Like the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:38. This is what Paul said. For I am persuaded, because of everything I've experienced, because of everything that God has done for me, the miraculous things that I've seen, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. I don't need faith to believe these things. This is the manner in which I live my life. I'm persuaded. Look at what else Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12. For it is the cause which I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul was a persuaded man. Are you persuaded in every aspect of your life?
What scripture
was that? 2 Timothy 1:12. We come to understand that our priority as believers in Jesus Christ is to have Jehovah first in our lives. Now, can you guess what your second priority should be? I gave you some hints as I was sharing scriptures. I'm not talking about the commandments of God. We know that you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you know. But we're talking about priorities, personal priorities. We're called to be like God, right? Mm-hmm. To walk like Him, to talk like Him, to look like Him. That's our model. Jesus Christ is our model. He walked in truth. Now, think with me. I'm talking about our priorities as Christians, how we present our character through the way that we live. I'll give you a hint. Psalms 138, verse 2, the scripture that we already looked at. Can you guess what your priority should be? Apart, we know that God is numero uno, number one. You being like God, a child of God, a representative of the Most High of the kingdom, what should your priority in secondly, the second place, second priority be? Psalms 138, verse 2.
Worship.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Your priority, your word, your word. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. What do men do? What are we not to do? I'm not a man that I change my mind. I don't vacillate. Paul said, I am persuaded and I will not change. And he kept that and he was willing to be beheaded. He knew what was going to happen to him. It didn't matter. He says, for me, you know, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This should be a priority in every believer. After all, we are to be like our Father in heaven. What gets you the most? Let's anybody done business with Christians? I hear it so much. They don't keep their word. That does some of the most damage to the name Christianity. People who claim to be God's people and they don't keep their word. God keeps His word and He'll never change. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a bunch of scriptures here. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a mature person, a person who's solid, able to control and bridle the whole body. If a person doesn't offend by the words that come out of their mouth, they're a mature person.
Because it's all true.
Because you don't lie. Because you don't slander. You don't lie. You don't backbite. You don't make fun of people and their, you know, poor people. God is an upright God. And we're to be upright in every aspect. Keep your word. Keep your mouth. Psalms 15, verse 1 through 5. This is the Amplified Bible, a psalm of David. O Lord, who may lodge as a guest in your tent, in your tabernacle? Who may dwell continually on your holy hill. He who walks with integrity and strength of character and works righteousness and speaks and holds truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In his eyes, an evil person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord and obediently worship him with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder, he keeps his word even to his own disadvantage and does not change it for his own benefit. He does not put out his money at interest to a fellow Israelite and doesn't... Guys, can you please hold it down? Thank you. He does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 7. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. And don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Talk is cheap. Like daydreams and useless activities, fear God instead. That was Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 7 out of the NLT. Romans 1:28 and through verse 32. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Look at this next word, covenant breakers. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit some things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them also. Covenant breakers. Psalms 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That was Psalms 51:6. Proverbs 12:17. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth, always in love. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, would it be fair to say that if somebody doesn't keep their word, the fruit of the Spirit isn't in operation in their lives? Because he's truth. The spirit of truth. Ooh. We can't have it both ways. That's what Jesus said. When the spirit of truth has come on you, he'll guide you into all truth. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's saying, they've got it. They've got it. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And if you, this is verse 37, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Which one is that?
That's Matthew 12, 36 and 37. You see, our society has gone on a slide and gone downhill from where things used to be. It used to be a handshake was a bond. In fact, it used to be just a word. Didn't even need a handshake. But you see, we have an enemy who is the father of what?
Lies.
Jesus called him the devil, the father of lies. Jesus said there's no truth in him. He was a liar from the beginning. So, let's look at this issue in true reality. If untruth comes out of your mouth, for whatever reason, untruth is untruth. Who do we align with? Who are we listening to? There was a scripture that says that a man even if it hurts him will keep his word.
James 3?
That was in Psalms 15 and verse 4. Says, but he honors those who fear the Lord and obediently worship him in awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. He keeps his word even to his own advantage, or disadvantage, I'm sorry. He keeps his word even to his own disadvantage and will not change it for his own benefit. If I say it, I'm going to do it even if it hurts me. Now, in that scripture, who can come to God's holy hill and dwell in his presence? It's those who walk with integrity and strength of character. Your integrity, that's what this title is. Keeping your character, your integrity intact. So really, really, it's simple. Just keep your word. That's it. That goes a long ways. But you see, in our society today, it's too easy to break covenant. It's too easy. In every aspect of lives. Okay, I make an agreement. I'm going to buy a car, and I'm going to pay this much. And then times get hard. Well, I'm just going to let them take it back. Or they make an agreement. When you sign your name on the dotted line, are you not giving your word?
Yes.
And you buy a house. Times get tough. Nah, just going to abandon the house, let it go back. Covenant breakers. Yes.
What about people who are married to someone that they weren't ordained to be married
to? They're in for a rocky road. Unequally yoked. It could be not all the time, because you could have two Christian people, okay, who by circumstances, you know, they meet, you know, and they get together, and all of a sudden they begin bonding, but they've not sought the Lord. Lord, is this who you have for me? More often, people get into relationships because of their friends. And not seeking the Lord. I thank God over and over for my wife. Because the Lord told me. And the Lord told her. So that's why I have no problem calling my wife my soulmate.
I just had a question.
My puzzle piece.
So for someone who's not ordained, then they figure out that they're not ordained, but yet they've made a covenant. I mean, do you just wait for the covenant to unravel on its own? Or does the faithful one stand and wait for the covenant to unravel? Or,
you know, each individual has a responsibility. When we stand before God, we will stand on our own before God. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about character. Paul said, I'm persuaded. So the things that you're persuaded of are things that you will hold to. Your persuasion is your rock. That's what you stake your life on. Now, here's the problem. Many never make a decision. Karen and I heard this message the other night by Matt Hagee. And he had a picture of a road, dead-end road, and you got a way going that way and a way going that way. And the person is in the middle. And he's not making a decision. That's what the Bible calls lukewarm. And you don't make a decision. What did Jesus say about those who were lukewarm? Vomit. Spew. Disgusting. So, if we learn right, if we learn God's character properly, if we learn God's word properly, we will be persuaded of certain things. One, like we said earlier, you know, we're talking about Jeremiah 29, that God has your future intact. Now, let me ask you, well, we did see the scripture in Jeremiah 29 that says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, not evil, of an expected end. So how many of you can believe that God has good plan for me? Mm-hmm. So can you be persuaded to wait God, I'm going to trust you. You're my rock. You're my anchor. And I personally know he's never done me wrong. I've gone through some tough times. But I benefited. Those things that were meant for evil, God turned them. And somehow made them good. I'm persuaded. And that's what God is looking for in us. Not to be lukewarm, not to be standing at a crossroads and not making a decision, but to be persuaded and then go for it. Go for that persuasion. Stand in it. Work in it. Live in it. Mm-hmm. Your character is your word. Now, here's the thing. Y'all can... I'm not the smartest pencil in the pack. You can fool me, but there's somebody that you can't fool.
There's what?
There's somebody that you can't fool.
Oh,
no. He hears everything you say. He sees everything you do. He knows every heart motive and your thoughts. Keeping your character intact. So, the easiest thing to do is just always be honest. Is that harmful? Speak the truth. We need truth. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In fact, because I'm recording this, I didn't grab my Bible out of my satchel. If somebody wants to look that up for me.
First Timothy 4.
Start reading at 1, please.
The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared, who forbid marriage and require absence from foods that God created and to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer.
Try to read two more verses.
If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word of the faith of the good doctrine that you have found. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths, but to train yourself for godliness. For while the body training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, with promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Amen. But up in the, like the second verse, we've seen the word, for those that were deceived, we've seen the word liars in there. I think in the King James it says covenant breakers. So, again, in the last days, we're filled with covenant breakers. We're filled with liars in many aspects of our society. So, if we are clothed with truth and honor, we'll always have God's blessings. And it doesn't matter what anybody does, because we have God. I would rather have Jesus. You and God are always a majority. You and God are always a majority. So never be afraid. Never be afraid to stand for truth. That is a big one for me, because I grew up a liar. I'd lie to save my hide. No, I didn't do it, Dad. And you know, that characteristic stayed with me for a long time, even into my Christian walk, until I began growing in the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son," and this is how God speaks to us, "I want you to always tell the truth now." You see God's perspective? His perspective isn't on the wrong. He didn't say, "From here on in, you don't lie anymore." That isn't God's character. "From here on in, always tell the truth." I understood what he was saying. I said, "Yes, Lord." So, it's always easier to do what's true than we don't have anything to cover. It's always easier to tell the truth. You don't have to. Some people have to make up untruths to cover untruths to cover untruths to cover untruths.
This keeps going on
forever. It does. You're right. And the hard part about it, I'll close with this, is that it hurts your conscience. The Bible tells us that we can have our conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience through the blood of Jesus Christ, who forgave us, gave us clean slate. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that abides forever. Thank you that your word is like an anchor, Lord. No matter what we attach to it, will hold. We thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to grow in you, that your glory can be better displayed in everything that we do. So we humbly, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing. Thank you that you are righteous. We humble ourselves before you. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.